in the presence of veterans of children's ministry here with Brother and Sister Burdine. Amen. I've counted it a privilege to stand beside them in ministry. Amen. They've got a burden, and they've got a good name all across this country. Amen. They've been just sacrificing, giving their lives to the highway. Amen. To traveling for the Lord, going where the Lord calls them. And I appreciate Brother John and Sister Dana Burdine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I would stand beside them anywhere. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Because they're just good people. They're just good people. It's good to see everyone here. Pastors coming to pick up your children, your young people, and visitors. Thank you for coming. And good to see Paul Blanton and his family are back here visiting. Praise the Lord. And anyone else that you've come tonight. And how many are going to help us tonight? Let's let the Lord move. How many are going to help us tonight? Amen. Amen. I pray that what I have to share tonight, the Lord can help us in it. Amen. And we just want to obey the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you again for all that you've done. We're going to be trying to pull out immediately. As soon as we can, we've got to hook up to our trailer. I direct the adult camp at Free Gospel Bible Institute, and it starts on Sunday night. And I've got to be there at 8 in the morning to do camp cleanup. So as soon as we can, we're going to try to back in over here and pull it out and be on the road tonight. And I invite you, if you can, come. Amen. We have Brother Savage is on Monday and Tuesday, and Brother Marquis is going to finish up the week for the mornings, and we have Brother Mike Switzer in the evenings, Chris Huntington on Monday, and Brother David Horton on Thursday, Mike Pettit on Friday afternoon for a mission service, and who knows what God might do. We want you to come. We've got facilities. We've got places for you to stay, and then we have youth camp at the end of this week. And we want you to come. I have to have the privilege of doing what Brother Garrison does and putting up with young people. But we have Travis Matney doing the night services. Brother Mike Sipes doing the morning services for us. And Brother John Rose is doing Power Up Teen Fun Hour in the afternoons. We want you to come. We want you to come. Be part of that with us. But I'm not here to advertise for something else. I'm here, amen, to preach to you what the Lord's laid upon our hearts. Amen. So if you would tonight, amen, without further ado, if you would tonight, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. To the book of Genesis chapter 18. To the book of Genesis chapter 18. At some point in my sermon tonight, toward the end, we are going to have a little bit of a drama that's going to take place. It will be toward the end of it. Amen. And I pray that the Lord would help us. You may have seen it before. Amen. And I'm not trying to copy. It just seems like it goes well with what the Lord's put upon our hearts. So we want to share that with you toward the end. Amen. But I pray that God would stir us tonight. Amen. Stir us in these last days. How many believe that we're in the last days? Amen. Not long ago, amen, someone sent me via email, amen, a clip to see, amen. It's a good person. If I told you who they were, just about everybody in this building, 90% of the people in this building would know who I was talking. They'd know that name. This name is just a good people. They sent me a video clip, amen. It's just a few minutes, amen. It's a video clip of a young girl, amen. She probably wasn't more than 14, 15 years old, amen. This clip is, she is being judged by Sharia law. Amen. She had been asked to marry an older gentleman. Amen. And she had denied to marry this older gentleman. And the video clip is a current video because you can see people are using their cell phones and they are videoing the incident that's taking place with their cell phone. You can see cell phones in this clipping. Amen. And what they are doing to this young girl, according to Sharia law, they had the right to stone this young girl to death because she would not marry an older gentleman. Amen. And so they're showing, and I'm watching this. In the beginning, my wife was there. I'm in my office, and I'm watching this. We're watching it together, and I begin to see stones fall upon this young lady. Amen. And you know, our hearts are so numb to the way things are today. Amen. This is not a theatrical reproduction of any kind. This is a live video. Amen. That's been sent to me. But our hearts are so hard or numb, and we have been so desensitized by the age that we live in. I thought it's just a few stones, and it's sad that I even thought that way. Amen. It's just a few things. And then I watched someone rear back their foot and kick this young girl in the face, and my heart began to grieve, and I continue to watch this, and it gets worse as they begin to really maul this young girl as she's down on the ground, curled up, trying to cover her face, and obviously she gets unconscious, and the video continues on. Right before I click the button to pause and close the video, someone had picked up a cinder block. Raised it over this young girl's head. Mind you, this is not a reproduction. It is not theatrical. It is not made up. They raise it over her head, and they throw it down upon her head, and they crush this little girl to death. I stopped it when stone midair. I could not see anymore. I shared this same story with some other people, and a friend of mine said, I want to see that video. Amen. And I sent that video to that person. Amen. And they went ahead and testified that they've seen the end of that video. Two times they picked up a cinder block. Amen. And they raised it over that little girl's head, and they crushed her head to the point where blood was rolling down the streets, all because she would not marry an older man. We are living in the end times. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming. I am expecting Him to come very soon. I was speaking today with a brother in this sanctuary, and he is telling me that in Michigan, there are communities that they are setting up. Amen. And they are accepting Sharia law in our country. Amen. We are on the verge of the rapture of the church. I believe that very strongly. I just found out today, amen, that California, not only did they agree to allow same-sex marriage, but now they are discussing the option of teaching same-sex education in the public school system of our nation, one nation under God. But we are living in the end times. I do not want to be here, amen, when the judgment of God falls upon this world, amen, of her immoral deeds. I want to be by the throne of my Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be in heaven for eternity. I don't want to be here when God judges the vile and the wicked. Amen. I want to be there in my reward with the Lord. Amen. But we are here now. Amen. We are living in this age. We are the last generation, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ will come back while I am alive. I pray that all 8 of my children are ready to meet Him in the clouds in the air. I pray that my brother is ready, my family, anybody that I've been involved with. I pray that they're ready. But even if they're not ready, He is still coming back in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump of God. I still believe it. Amen. Amen. But what are we going to do about it? Amen. He is coming back. What would we do to get ourselves ready? Amen. What would we do tonight to keep judgment from falling upon us? Or what would we do to make sure we hit the right exit door? Amen. I'll tell you tonight, if you'll just bear with me, go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 19. And I want to talk to you about a story. Amen. About a lady and a man. Amen. That was facing judgment, made their way to leave that catastrophic event. Amen. And only one, amen, one, well actually three made it out, but one missed the opportunity. I don't want to miss what God has for me in heaven. I have spent 21 years of my life preparing for heaven. Amen. And I don't want to miss it now. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 19, if you'll stand with me, we're going to start. Amen. We're going to start at verse 23. I hope I can minister, amen, the word of God to you tonight. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a salt pillar. My, would you pray tonight with me that God have his way? Amen. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd give me clarity of thought, give me liberty of speech, God. Give me anointing of soul and word, God. Lord, that you'd touch the ears and the heart of the listener tonight. That you'd bind the hands of the enemy, rebuke the devourer for our sake, put a hedge around about this sermon. God, that you'd bless these pastors and these young people. Help us to prepare for the end times that we are living in. Help us, oh God, to keep our face toward heaven tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord goes to visit Abraham. He had been given a promise of his son. His son is not born, and he goes to Abraham again and makes the announcement, and Sarah is there in the tent door, and she chuckles a little bit about the situation. God judges her, amen, he rebukes her, but Abraham had laughed once before, but God really never did rebuke him. But I see, amen, that Abraham was excited. His laughter was excitement. Amen. He was happy. I'm going to have a son. I'm going to be a boy. I'm going to be a dad. Amen. But when God told that same thing to Abraham, his wife heard the story and she didn't laugh in excitement. Amen. She laughed in doubt. So God, amen, he judged her and rebuked her for that. They have a visit there. Amen. God speaks to them. But God has a message he wants to tell Abraham. Amen. God says he can trust Abraham. Amen. God said that Abraham was a great and mighty nation. Amen. God said that Abraham would command his children and his household, and that he would keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. So the Lord trusted Abraham with this message of judgment that he was going to bring out upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. So God began to tell Abraham, amen, these visitors began to tell Abraham, amen, that they were going to judge a wicked city, amen, and wicked cities, mind you, Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, that Abraham was going to put judgment upon them, amen, and he was going to destroy those people, amen, and that's all that he told him. He didn't say, I want you to go and get anybody out of there, amen, he just told him the message, amen, I believe, amen, that God tells his ministers, amen, things that other people might not be able to hear. Amen. I believe that God entrusts to the man of God, amen, the future, amen, of some people's lives. When you hear a man of God tell you, beware, dare you chuckle. Amen. You better check yourself and make sure, amen, that you're where you need to be. Amen. So Abraham hears the word. God is going to judge. God is going to bring destruction. God is going to annihilate. God is going to put to an end a civilization, a society, amen, a people. Amen. God's going to do this. And it stirs Abraham's heart. He's talking to God. And it stirs his heart. Amen. Abraham's a man with like compassions. Amen. He don't want to see this happen. So as God's about to leave, amen, as God's about to walk away, Abraham jumps in front of him. He said, wait just a minute, Lord. Amen. Before you do that, I've got a question I want to ask you. Amen. If there be 50, amen, in that entire civilization of people, if there be 50, amen, in that city, amen, would you not do that? Would you spare the civilization for 50 people? Amen. And God said, if there'll be found 50 in that place, I'll spare the entire civilization. I'll spare every soul in that place. If you can find 50 righteous people, amen, I'll hold back the wrath of God. Amen. And God began to walk away, and I can see Abraham say, wait a minute. Amen. If there be lacking 5 of 50 there in that city, would you hold back the judgment? Would you hold back your wrath? If there be 45, amen, would you stop this situation, this thing that you're about to do? And God said, if there'll be 5, amen, lacking of 50, for 45, I'll save all those people. I'll stop the wrath. Amen. I'll show mercy. Amen. I'll care for them. I'll let them live. And God's about to walk away again. I can see Abraham. Wait a minute, Lord. Well, just a minute. I need to ask you something. If there'll be 40 found in that city. Amen. And he said, yeah, for 40, I'll hold back my judgment. Amen. For 40. Amen. I won't do it. For 40, I'll give them another generation. I'll let them go on. Amen. He's about to step away. 30! 30! Would you stop for 30? Amen. And he said, yes, peradventure, I found 30 righteous souls in that civilization. Amen. In that entire metropolitan city. Amen. Of all of those people, I'll stop for 30. But what about 20? Would you stop for 20? Yes, for 20. I'll stop for 20. And one more time. Amen. Abraham intercedes with God for 10 verses. Amen. He has a conversation for 10 verses there in Genesis chapter 18. Amen. Abraham asking peradventure. Amen. I shouldn't even ask. Amen. But can I ask you just this one thing? If I find 10 righteous people, 10 good people, amen, in this place, if there'll be 10 good people, would you spare your wrath? He said, I'll do it for 10. Amen. You say tonight, we might be holiness people. Amen. We might be outnumbered. Amen. People look at us like we're not worth much. Amen. But if there'll be 10, amen, if there'll be 10, amen, if there'll be 10, hey, praise God for 10. Yeah, praise God for the righteous. We might be the reason the wrath of God is not failed upon this nation today. Thank God for the righteous 10. You say you're not worth much. I say you're worth, amen, everything. Amen. We have saved our civilization up to now. Amen. We might be the reason. Amen. Revival is still accessible in our very nation. Praise God. We might be the reason Pentecost still comes to our youth camps in this very hour. Amen. For you see, surrounded around us in our metropolitan cities, amen, in our trailer parks, amen, in our nation, around our corner, there is drugs, there is alcohol, amen, there is sin of every kind, from A to Z, amen, there is sin everywhere, but thank God for another holiness church, thank God for a bus ministry, thank God for some good people that's holding back the wrath of God. Somebody say amen. I'm thankful, I'm proud to be one of them. God finishes this conversation. He goes on. Abraham goes to his place. We find the next scene that angels are coming to the city of Sodom. They're pulling up to the city, and Lot, they went to sojourn. The one that put his tent towards Sodom. The one that really wasn't planning on going there. Lot meets them at the gate. Hey man, he meets them there. He falls down before them. He bows down before them. Hey man, he requests, come in. Come into my home. Hey man, and he provides for them a feast. Hey man, he gives them fellowship. Hey man, they say, we're not going to come in. We've come to do something for God Almighty. Oh, come in. Hey man, and they come in to stay the night. Hey man, and what a vile night. What a night it was. Hey man, I'm ashamed that the angels had to see. Hey man, didn't hear what took place on the threshold of Lot's very door. Amen. There is Lot. Amen. Inside, and there's wicked and vile men on the outside of his home knocking on the door. Hey, who's those travelers? Hey, who are those guys? Bring them out that we may know them. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, I can't do that. I want you to understand something tonight. Amen. That this Lot. Amen. He's been around Abraham. Amen. He'd been around the patriarch. He knew what faith was. He knew what God was. I'm sure he knew what righteousness was. But now Lot is numb. Amen. He's grown cold. He's hard. Amen. He's desensitized. And he's about to commit the vilest sin against his own family. He's about to offer his own children. Amen. To the world. Because he's so desensitized. He's about to offer them to homosexuals. Amen. And to lust whoremongers. Amen. And a lot. He's been desensitized. I don't want to get desensitized. Amen. I don't want to get desensitized. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. I want to stand up against sin. Oh, but brother, you need to be more tolerant. No, I do not have to be more tolerant. Amen. You say tolerant. I say tell that dear mother. Amen. Her child was molested and abused. Tell her to be tolerant. I don't think she can be able to be tolerant. You tell that young man, amen, he's so messed up in his mind, he don't know if he's a boy or a girl. You tell him to be tolerant. I don't have to be tolerant. Amen. God was not tolerant. He gave them about 12 hours of toleration. But after the 12 hours went over, God had his way. God had his way. God told Lot, I'm about to judge. I'm about to pour out my wrath. I'm about to destroy this entire civilization. Is there any other in this house besides your daughters, your sons-in-laws, and your wife? Let them know I'm about to destroy. And Lot runs to wake up his sons. He gets them up. Get up. Behold, get up, get up. The Lord's about to destroy. He tells them what God's about to do, but the Bible tells us he spoke as if it were a sport. Sport. As if it was a light matter. As if it was just, you know, a paragraph in a storybook that he'd read somewhere. It wasn't life or death to Lot. He nudges them. He tells them. They roll over. They go back to sleep, not knowing that the next day they were going to be consumed in the wrath of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming, and I think he could come back tonight. Amen. And I'm not playing with you. Amen. I'll tell you the truth. You say, Brother Massey, he won't. You just give him a reason why to come sooner. In an hour that you think not, amen, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. I want to expect him. Amen. I want to expect him to come. Amen. I want to expect the Lord's return. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Are you listening to me tonight? I want to be ready for the Lord's return. Amen. I don't want to speak lightly of it. I don't want to speak lightly of the things of God. My God's a holy God. My God's a righteous God. My God's a true God. My God's a mighty God. And I want to trust him in his word fully. He tells them, hasten. Hasten. Take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Hasten. Wait just a minute. I need to make sure I get two loops on my shoe. I missed a belt loop. Let me read. Wait just a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Wait just. I got one more picture. I don't want to leave. Let me go get that picture. Hold. And while they lingered. Hold on to, honey, you got any more coffee, man? Hold on to, I forgot to write this down on the calendar. I got to read more thing. And while they lingered, amen, heavenly host, amen, heavenly host, amen, angelic beings, amen, dispatched from the throne of God, amen, these heavenly hosts, these angels couldn't wait any longer. Amen, they couldn't hesitate another moment. They grabbed him. They clutched him around the arm. Amen. They weren't going to let him drag on anymore. Amen. They began to tug. They began to pull. Amen. In these last days, young people, I pray that you feel the tug. For I feel the tug. I feel the tug of an unseen hand. I feel him trying to pull me up out of this world. Do you not feel the tug? I feel him tugging on me. I don't want to linger. Amen. I want my shoes on my feet and my staff in my hand. It's time to leave this wicked land. I want to be ready when he tugs. And while they lingered, amen, I don't want to be the lingering ones. I want to be the ready one. And they pulled him out of the city of safety. 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 Out the gate. Out of that society. Beyond that wall of immoral things. Away from the impression of all of that sin. Away from the atmosphere that was so tainted and marred and black with such awful deeds. Out of the city. Pulls them to safety. And they say to them, run to the mountains! Lest they'll be consumed! Run to the mountains! Lest thou be consumed! Get out of here. Change your address. Get out of the city. Make yourself a country boy. Amen. Get out of this lifestyle. Then go change your address. Change your lifestyle. Change your way of living. Start all over. But wait just a minute. Now hold on just a minute. You've been good to me. The Lord has been good and merciful to me. Amen. There is another little one over here. There's another city over here. I won't be able to make it with all of that change. I can't make it with all that sanctification. I can't make it with all that holiness in the mountain. Let me just take a little bit of this off and take a little bit of it with me, and I'll go over here to this little city. Amen. Let me have a little bit of world and a little bit of mercy, and I'll be fine over here. Run to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Young people, amen, I advise to you, run to Mount Calvary. Amen. Run to the glory of God. Find yourself in heavenly places. Get up out of this world. Shun the world. Shun sin. Shun worldliness. And be a mountain man for God. Anybody here tonight? Hallelujah. Is anybody here tonight? For some reason, the angels consented to the request. I don't know why. But they consented and allowed Lot go to Zoar. I don't know why, but I ask you tonight, you've been delivered. You've been set free. Are you satisfied with Zoar? Are you satisfied with Zoar? When God's got a better place of safety for you? Are you satisfied with half Christian? Half sinful, half Christian, half worldliness. Are you satisfied with that? Amen. With that halfway life? Go to the mountain. I don't know why they consented to that. They had a mission. They had to do something that God told them to do. And while they're leaving, God began to rain fire and brimstone. While they're walking away out of heaven, sulfur-like burning coals come down out of heaven and consumed the city, the plain, and everything that lived there. They destroyed it. Burn it to nothing. destroyed at fire and brimstone, because God can only tolerate for just a little while. We cannot play. Anybody around here, you remember that little game we used to get, a little wire with a red wheel on it, magnetic wheel on it. We'd take it and go. Remember that? How many of y'all remember that? Anybody seen one of them lately? If you do, let me know. I want one. I just want it for memory's sake. That's how we've been doing with God. Up and down, back and forth. You know, just satisfying. Going nowhere. Just doing nothing, back and forth. God's coming. Yeah, he's coming. God's coming. And God sent fire and brimstone and destroyed. But something happened that day. Mind you, I do know that Lot's wife, she shouldn't have done what she did. I know that. But Lot was there too. While Lot was doing the right thing for once in his life, his wife did something, and there was nothing he could do about it. He was holding her hand, going away from destruction, going toward hope, in the right direction. And she turned back from behind him. And the moment it happened, he knew it. The moment it happened, he knew it. Tonight, I'm done with my introduction. Tonight, for the next few moments, I want to preach to you young people. Do you have the symptoms of a salt pillar? Do you have the symptoms of a salt pillar? Number one, the moment she turned around, he knew it. What did she do? She stopped looking at the same thing. All she had to do was look in the same direction. All she had to do was keep her eyes toward the mountain. Have you lost your focus? Have you lost your vision? Do you have wandering eyes? Have you lost the direction of sight in which God wants you to look? Have you stopped looking at the same things that you had looked at before? Do you have that symptom of a salt pillar? Have you lost your vision? Number two, he noticed that she lost stride. She let up on pace. She slowed down. She slowed down. There's a sermon I preach sometimes, many, many points. I'll bring one point to this sermon here. If I knew I could win. Many things that I do, but one thing I say, if I knew I could win the race to heaven, I'd beat my best time. Because I am my own opponent. And I'd run faster today than I did yesterday. She lost stride. She slowed down. She just slowed down. She lost vision. She lost stride. Number three, she stopped listening to the voice of the angel. She lost her hearing. She stopped listening. Run! Don't look back! Move forward! She closed out the voice of God. She closed out the voice of direction. You ain't telling me what to do. I'm not listening to nothing else than my own self, my own desires. That's what I want to do. La, 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 la. I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I've got my own way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't want to hear it. Sit. Let's make an event. She stopped listening to the voice of God. Maybe God has been speaking to you this week. Maybe God's been speaking to you for a while. Open up those ears. Listen to God. Listen to the songs. Listen to the hope of deliverance. Listen to direction. Listen to correction. Listen. Number four, he felt that she lost grip. She lost life in her grip. It was like ceremonial. It was religious. It was like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It was just a dead grip. She lost life for deliverance. Young person, have you lost life in your grip? Do you have symptoms, Sister Massey, of a salt pillar? Have you lost sight? Have you lost the hearing? Have you lost your step, your pace? Have you lost your grip? And finally, as these people get ready, the last thing, she got hard. She got hard. She took her last step. I'm not taking another step. You're not moving me. I'm right good right where I am. She got hard in her heart. She got hard in her soul. She got hard in her mind. She got hard-hearted. Are you hard tonight? Here's something I want you to know, young people. When this happened, there was nothing that Lot could do about it. The love of his life, two for sure children, a home, a past, and what would have been a future, he had to let go and leave behind. Her destiny ended there. His future had to be alone. There was nothing he could do about it. Jesus is coming back, young people. Would you take me by the hand and take every step all the way up the steps toward heaven and not stop, not look back? Don't grow cold. Don't lose your vision. Don't stop listening. Would you take us by the hand and go for God? You may have seen this before, but I think it has an impact. I want you to listen and watch this drama.
The angel said to hurry. The Lord will judge our city. There's safety in the mountain, so let's head for higher ground. Darling, let's run hand in hand. There's nothing left behind us. Then all at once happened, and I knew she turned around, and I heard her crying, "Run on, there's nothing left behind you." And I heard her shouting, "Strong, don't ever slow down. It's ringing in my a silent testimony. Song pillar, I'll never turn around. Down through the years, since I started walking, some friends have come and gone. I don't know why they changed their mind, and in my memory I see their monuments of failure. I know if I would listen, I would hear them testify. Those old friends are crying, run on. There's nothing left behind you. Those old friends are shouting, be strong. Don't ever slow down. And in my memory,
monuments to failure. Young person, do you have the symptoms of a salt pill? It's going to happen. Is there someone in your life you see you've got, they've got this, they've lost vision, they stopped listening, they've lost life, they've lost step? Do you have the symptoms tonight? Brother Marquis just shared something with me. I'm going to let him share it with you. We're going to call you to the altar.
There's nothing left.
Singing, Sister Massey. I said in the Martinsburg Regional Jail today, and I talked with a boy whose picture's on that wall back there. 8 years ago, on a Friday night, 8 years ago tonight, I was preaching in a little building up on the hill. A little drug addict stood out in the dark. He couldn't even get in the building. I believe we had about 140-150 campers that year. Brother Dennis was here. Brother Larry was here. Who else was here? Brother Burdine was here. And a 16-year-old sinner boy facing jail time then, raised by a murdering, drugging daddy, worked his way through the crowd and knelt at an altar. And that night he prayed. That boy got saved. 2 weeks later, they sentenced him to boot camp for his crimes. Brother Trice, you was here. They couldn't beat it out of him at boot camp. Not a Christian daddy, not a Christian mama, raised in a life of torture. But that boy got saved. They'd make him do push-ups by the hundred. He'd quote scripture that he memorized while they made him. The next year, he was here as a camper. His picture's on that board back there. A year later, God called him to preach. 2 or 3 years later, he married a little Christian girl. But Brother Massey told us tonight, I felt the Lord just lay this. I went there today with no thoughts of this service, no thought of it till he gave the altar call. God spoke to my heart and said, and I asked for his permission. And I sit there today and he said, where are you going tonight, Brother Brent? I said, I'm going to Mount Olive to pick up my boys and my girl. When I said that, the tears began to run down his face. He said, yeah, I've been thinking about that place all week long as I sit here in this prison. He said, my, what a good time we had up there. He said, look at me now, Brother Brent. Look at me. as the tears dripped off his face, he said, look at me where I'm at and where I was and what I had. Tonight he's divorced. His wife is running wild. She's been in jail. And Timothy, 2 minutes and I'm going to get out of the way, but I felt the Holy Ghost. 6 months ago he called me and he's running and he was shooting the heroin in his veins and he was running hard. As I caught him and I got him one day and I said, boy, you've got to stop. And I could not get him and he cried and he even come to the altar one night and prayed a little bit, but he wouldn't sell out to God. And I told him that night he had him a girlfriend. And I said, you think tonight that your choice is either God or that girlfriend? I said, but your choice is not God or that girlfriend. Your choice is God or going back to jail. You know what got him out, young people? You know what got him out? A job. He got him a job down at the high school, tending the grass. And they said, you got to start watching the football field. And you got to start taking care of the football field during the football games. And when he got back around all that partying crowd, that old animal rose back up within him. Amen. It didn't start overnight. Amen. Grant Cobb, but I'm going to tell you what happened to him. He found himself laying out of church one Sunday, then another Sunday. Amen. One Friday night of revival, and then another. Come on here now. Amen. I promise I'm not going to be but 2 minutes to get out of the way. He said, Brother Brent, I just quit praying. I just quit reading my Bible. Amen. The next thing you know, somebody had him selling drugs. Amen. To make a little extra money. The next thing you know, he was using them. He's overdosed time after time after time again. And 8 years ago, he got saved at this altar on a Friday night. I come to tell you as we bring this to a close that the power of God's in this place to tell somebody, amen, it ain't God or that girlfriend, it ain't God or that job, it God, it's God or a jail cell somewhere, it's God or hell, it's God or eternity without God, amen. I'm telling you, it ain't God or that little thing you're holding on to, it's God or punishment from an eternal and a just Savior. It's ringing in my, you're here tonight. Brother Massey's preached to you this week. He told me to close it out. That's what I'm doing. And all week long, you've prayed, but you're holding on to it. You're still looking back. Is this all right? Is this what you want me to do, Brother Massey? You better drop that thing. And you better run as hard as you can. Thomas hates jail. Some people tolerate it. Thomas hates it. When he got out a year ago, after he served a year, he said, Brother Brent, I'll never, ever go back. And I said, Thomas, you either get back in a holiness church and get back with your wife and get things made right, or I said, you are going. I'll never go back, he said. I walked in the other day. He was hoping they'd let him out. I've been working with him about 3 or 4 months. He said, Brother Brent, I got at least a year. At least a year. And today when I stood there, Brother Massey, he said, I've thought about Mount Olive all week long. He said, 8 years ago today, I got saved. I told you Wednesday night, what to decide whether the preacher visits you in a jail 3 or 4 years from now, should God tarry, or whether or not you make something for God, will be tonight, whether or not you surrender your life to the absolute will of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Here's what I'm going to do right now. You may think this is premeditated murder. It wasn't. You listen to me. You're here now. Some of you, God's done spoke to you several times. You listen to me. You are still holding on to that thing. You know God's told you. You know God's dealt with you. You know God's talked to you. You know, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I wish I had a praying set of parents and pastors, because I'm working for your son, your daughter, your youth group. Now this altar call right here, we're talking about looking back. You want the power of God. You want the will of God, but there's something behind you. I'm going to ask you right now. You are holding on to something. Step out of that seat. Make your way to this altar. I don't want everybody coming yet. You that are specifically like these boys right here have got something in their life that they're holding on to.
Don't ever slow down.
Come on here.
It's ringing in my ears.
Oh, hallelujah. I don't want not one here, Brother Larry, for us to have a testimony like I just told tonight. Hold on just a minute, young people. If you're here and you're holding on to something, and from the tears I see flowing, that's these up here. I want you first. I'm going to go a step farther. If you're sitting in the back of this building and you're not a camper, but God's dealing with you tonight and you're holding on to something, before I open these things, the floodgates up, while there's still a little space around this front, I'm going to ask you to step out right now. Lord, here I am.
Don't ever slow down.
I don't want you crying someday saying, boy, I wish I'd have stayed with God. I wish I'd have stayed in there. Before I open it up, anybody else tonight, run while you got a chance.
Testimony.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm giving it back to Brother Massey. Run!
Salt pillar.
Do you have the symptoms of
never
a salt pillar tonight?
Around.
Do some of these young people have the symptoms of a salt pillar? We need to see it cured.
Run
Church,
on.
We need to see these symptoms cured.
There's
I never want to influence a young person from
behind
looking back,
you.
Losing pace, stop listening, losing vision. I want
be
to take
strong.
Them to heaven. Let's gather around this altar with these young people.
Don't
the Holy
ever slow
Ghost is
down
with
down.
Their hearts. This may be the first
it's
time this entire week some
of
these young people have been broken. Let's make sure they get an experience they need in this altar service. Let's make sure they get the experience they need in this altar service. Jesus is coming. I want them to make it.
Those old friends are crying, run on. There's nothing left behind you. Those old friends are shouting, be strong.